Well, it's an awesome privilege to be here with you guys. And how many of you enjoyed your prayer and fasting? You know, every time we pray and fast, we always experience miracles of the Lord. And for us as a family, we've been praying for our student visa for my son, who's going to go study in Perth, Australia. And it got approved, I think, on Wednesday. So we thank God for that. And he's going to stay with our pastor there in our Every Nation Perth Church. So the pastor lives right across the street, pretty much, from the school. So we thank God for his provision, because saving us money on the housing, thank God. Okay. But before we start, I just want to pray for you and pray for the church, and really just honor Pastor Ken and Kira. They are amazing, amazing couple. The few times we got to meet them and be with them, I'm blown away by Pastor Ken, how much he knows. You know, I'm like, I feel like, whoa, you know, he knows a lot. And so I'm just so blessed. You are blessed to have pastors like this. And so I want to continue to encourage you, keep praying for your pastors and leaders. Let me just pray for them and the church. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord God, for Pastor Ken and Kira. Lord God, we just pray a blessing to be upon them, and we pray a blessing upon this church. For Lord would say to you, my sons and daughters, that even now in this season, know that I am building my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. As you continue to move forward by faith, know this, that I am building you as my church, and I am going to build faith within you. Know that as you continually step forward in my word, you're going to see great and mighty things that I'm going to do in your life and in your family this year. Believe in me, trust in me, and watch and see what I will do in your house, says the Lord. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord God, for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you, Lord God, Father, for encouragement to rise. I thank you that faith is rising in our hearts to believe that you are a great and a mighty God. And if you are for us, who can be against us? Lord, we thank you. We praise you that 2020 is going to be our greatest year yet, because you are a great and a mighty God. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So I have the awesome privilege to start off your series on the Grace series. And we'll be going through 5 weeks of this: justifying grace, sanctifying grace, sufficient grace, enriching grace, and inviting grace. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our Christmas time with our family. And this is my family. We have three children. My oldest is 29. He's married. He's going on his second year of marriage. Still don't have children. Pray for them. Come on. You know, they have three cats. And we're like, no more animals. Okay, children. Come on. We want grandchildren. Okay. And then our second son is there in the middle. He's 25. And he'll be studying in Perth, Australia. He's going to study sports science. And, you know, he's very into bodybuilding, I guess, from his national service. And then my youngest daughter there is 21. And we also have our youngest daughter, Bambi, that our dog, okay, there. And my wife and I have been married for 31 years. We just celebrated our anniversary, and it's so great and to be together in ministry together with a wife that really, I mean, people say that I have faith. It's because of my wife's faith. And she always tells me when I'm discouraged, she says, are you a man of faith? No, okay, I'm joking, but you know, she'll encourage me, you know, come on, let's pray. And I really appreciate my wife for, you know, her heart for the Lord. And, you know, during Christmas, we always have this thing that we always thank God for something that happened in the year. You know, and I was thanking God that I survived 2019. I don't know how your 2019 was, but mine was a very tiring. We went to 15 nations, minister over 20 churches. And I ended the year, I was in Belgium with Pastor Jim LaFoon, and I told Pastor Jim, I don't know how you do it. I'm just so exhausted. I'm just so tired. And I said, how do you do it? And he says, the grace of God, brother. You know how he speaks. And I was like, oh man, I need more grace. And you know, we went to one of our small groups, and this is one of the small groups meetings, and And we were going around sharing that same thing. You know, what are you thankful for in 2019? And this brother that had his hand on my shoulder, it was so funny because when I first met him, you know, I was getting to know him. And this is actually about the third or fourth time I've met him. And he says, Pastor Larry, you know, when I first met, he says, you're actually a funny guy. And I'm like, huh? I said, why are you saying that? He says, because when I first met you, you look so serious. I always thought you were so serious, but actually you're kind of funny. And I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't know I had that impression on people. But I was just so thankful for what he shared. Because here I was sharing about, we finished the year, I'm so tired and all of that, but just thank God, you know, we finished by his grace. He was thankful because last year Christmas, he was diagnosed with third stage cancer. And he didn't know if he was going to survive the year. And he went for an operation and they removed the cancer and he was testifying he's cancer free. Can we give the Lord praise for that? And he was saying he was so thankful for life. And you know, that brought me back to the right perspective. That many times we look at our own situations and we get so down, maybe discouraged or tired of our situation and we forget what other people are going through. And this brother's testimony was reminding me that what I was experiencing is nothing compared to what others are going through, and he was thanking God for life. And so I wanted to encourage us today as we're going through this series, and we're going to be talking about justifying grace, that we want to receive God's grace that will transform our eternity, because our time here on earth is very limited. Come on. For some of you, you know, it's even more limited. Okay. But for all of us, it's limited. And I'm looking forward for my time in eternity. I'm looking forward to be with Jesus one day. Come on. And I know that it's going to be a glorious time. And so I really want to encourage all of us that what we do here on earth is so temporary. You know, it's so limited. And so we should make the most of our time to give it and serve it, serve the Lord, because when we go to heaven, man, it's like, Lord, I did all this for you. I want to, you know, it's a worship before you. And so this is our encouragement today. And we're going to go through this. And our text today is taken from Titus 3:3-7. And it says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Man, that is pretty bad. But thank God for scripture with the words that say but. Okay, and it says but. When the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow. That's a lot. And here we go. I want to break it down for us so that we can understand this. Paul addresses this. And he starts off by reminding Titus who we were. And he says, we were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions, slaves to various pleasures, malice, envy, hated by others, hating one another. You see, Paul had two spiritual sons that were very close to him. One was Timothy. Timothy ministered in Ephesus, and we know in Ephesus there was a lot of spiritual warfare going on in Ephesus, and they had this rally one time, and this riot broke out, and they were yelling out, you know, to the Artemis of the Ephesians. You know, there was a lot of spiritual warfare, and Timothy, one of his spiritual sons, was ministering in that environment. The other spiritual son was Titus, and Titus was ministering in Crete, a small island, but yet Crete had its own spiritual warfare. And so Paul is reminding his spiritual sons, hey, we were once this. We were once pretty bad, But thank God he saved us. He transformed us. But you got to see how bad the Cretans were. It says this in Titus 1:12. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. How many of you want to minister in a place like that? Man, that's pretty bad. You may think the workplace, the environment that you're at is pretty bad. Some of you, your home environment may seem pretty bad. But this is an encouragement for all of us. We were once like that. And Paul was addressing that. We were once this bad, but thank God for his grace. And he was reminding even of him, his own self, that Apostle Paul himself was once a murderer. He was hated and he hated people, but God transformed his life on the Damascus Road. And so look at this, what he says here in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Man, Apostle Paul, the greatest church planter, he says he was the chief of sinners. And so he's putting himself in that same category and saying, man, I was once like this. I was pretty bad. And so we got to understand that the Lord saves us from this kind of lifestyle and environment to transform us. That's why I like stories like this, when Jesus had to purposely go to Samaria to meet this Samaritan woman at the well. And he says, and he prophesies over her, and he says in John 4, you have five husbands and the one you have is not your husband. And she says, what you have said is true. Can you imagine that? Jesus is actually prophesying that you're living together with someone that's not even your husband. This lady is messing around and clearly sinning. And then that encounter with Jesus transforms her life. And she goes and becomes the greatest witness in her city. And it goes on and says, many Samaritans from their own town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. This lady that was one of the most wicked sinners of her city, maybe close to like a prostitute because of her lifestyle, now becomes transformed by her encounter with Jesus and becomes the greatest evangelist. How many of you thank God when we encounter Jesus, he changes our lives? Come on. I thank God for that. It says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Thank God. Thank God that God uses anybody. I mean, Jesus, when he chose his own disciples, look at this. He chose fishermen, tax collectors. They were saying the tax collectors were like super, super sinners, you know. And he even chose even prostitutes. And he would change these people to become world changers. And it's such a great testimony for all of us, including myself, that if God can use fishermen, he can surely use us. Come on, he can use anybody. We don't have to be doctors and master's degree level. Come on, God can use us if you're willing and saying, Lord, I need you. I trust in you. Use me for your glory. As we submit our lives to him, his word will flow through us. His words will speak through us and minister through us. Come on, we need to be disciples of Christ. And as these lowly fishermen believed and stepped out in faith, they did wonders for God. They became world changers and disciple makers. This is what God has for all of us. Come on, we were once like this, but I thank God for all the buts and the beings and the become, because we're going to look at that. For, you know, I like how Apostle Paul contrasts all this negative stuff of the world, and he contrasts us, you know, with the word of God, and how when we encounter Jesus, he changes us. So we're going to look at that. Two buts, a being and become, to understand this verse. And the first but is this, but goodness saves. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done, but us in righteousness. We thank God for his goodness. We thank God that he saved us. Ephesians, it says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing, but of the gift of God, not of works, so that no one could boast. You know, we don't have to do works to get salvation. I don't know your religious past before, but you don't have to do all these works and to get your ticket to heaven. No, it's already been done in Christ. And we thank God for that, what He's done by receiving Him in our life. Oh, now we have forgiveness of sins and now He heals us and transforms us. You know, I thank God when I met Jesus at 19 years old. I was in church all my life. My dad was a pastor in Hawaii and you know, I had, because my dad's a pastor, of course you have to do worship even though you can't sing very well. And my sister was playing piano, and I remember I was such a sinner. You know, I would go party and then I would have to lead worship that Sunday. And I felt so convicted by the Holy Spirit. I would be leading worship, kneeling down, crying, and everybody thought I was so annoyed. Anointed. Nobody knew I was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit because of my lifestyle, you know. And I thank God, you know, when I went to college and I almost ended my life. I was thinking of, because of a bad relationship, you know, at 19 years old, you know, I knelt down before the Lord and I, long story short, you know, my mom, I called my mom and my mom said, you know, you should thank the Lord for what you're going through. And I said, because I was on the verge of ending my life. I said, what? Thank God for what I'm going through. You're crazy. And I slammed down the phone. But then I thought, okay, God, I'll give you one last chance. You know, I'm going to die anyway. So I knelt down by my dorm room. I lifted my hands and I started thanking God for who He was, a great, a mighty and awesome God. And for the first time in my life, you got to imagine this. I've been in church all my life up to that point. For the first time in my life, I felt this warm presence and His arms of love just love and accept me, a wicked sinner that I was. And I started bawling like a baby. I said, God, if you can forgive a wicked person like me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And come on, that was 5 years ago. Now I'm 25. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No, I'm 50 something. Oh man, I'm so old already. But anyway, you know, thank God. Thank God that He saved me and He transformed me. And that's why, you know, I love this hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light, all the burdens of my heart rolled away. It's there by faith I received my sight and now I'm happy all the day. I always remind myself, somebody asking me, you know, I travel so much and why do you do what you do and isn't it tiring? I said, yes, but you know, why do I do what I do? Because I love the Lord and I remember that joy of my salvation, what He saved me from. I should not be alive today, but it's because by His grace I'm saved. And it's because of Him. I have no talent, no ability. You know, when God first called me, I used to have a stuttering problem. I was so shy. Even now, I'm sitting there, Pastor Ken, I'm so shy. You know, I have butterflies in my stomach and I'm like, oh no, you know, Lord, I need your anointing again. And you know, all these things go through my heart, but I remember the joy of my salvation. I remember what Jesus has done for me. I remember the price that He paid on the cross. And because of that, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to declare that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And by His grace, I can do what He called me to do. Come on. It's not by our might. It's not by our power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. Come on. We don't have to be the most talented, the most gifted. All He's asking is for your obedience. Will you step out in faith? Will you begin to do what He's asking to do? And when you read the Word of God, will you obey it and live it out every day? That's what He's calling and asking you to do. Come on. I had the privilege to do a church camp in our church in Turkey several months ago. And as we were there, you know, it was such a privilege to speak and administer. But, you know, it was an honor to lead one of the ladies there. And she's from a Middle Eastern country. I can't even say where it's from because, you know, by her receiving Christ, there's almost like a death sentence on her life, even by her own family. And when I had the awesome privilege to lead her to Christ and she was crying and she received Jesus and you know, the pastor was telling me she's devouring the Word of God. She's reading the Word of God. She's doing one-to-one. Now she's in the Purple Book and she's just growing in her faith. And I just thought, there are people out there that dare to receive Christ even though it may cost them their life. And here I am, you know, in places and to receive Christ. And then, you know, maybe we grumble and complain because the aircon's not working in churches. And so I don't want to go to church. There's no aircon. You know, it's like, what in the world? You know, come on. You know, have we lost the joy of our salvation?
I just thank God for that. The next but is this, but mercy renews. But according to his own mercy, by the washing, regeneration, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior. I thank God that his mercy renews us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said this in John 16:13. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. You see, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He's going to remind us of the Word of God. And he's going to say, hey, come on, what does the Word of God say? How we should live and how we should act and behave. I remember when we first started the church in Singapore, and, you know, I came out of a very, you know, traditional religious background, being my dad's church and all that. And my dad kind of was raised me to say, you know, it's kind of ministry all the time, you know. And so, you know, when he first started the church, it was like ministry, you know, we're always doing ministry. We're going, and I would do ministry on my kid's birthday and ministry on my wife's birthday. And whenever they're sick, you know, I would say, no, you come to church. And it was just like this. And I remember one time my wife was crying, and, you know, I guess she couldn't take it. Thank God for my wife. Yay. Give my wife a big hand. Thank you. Thank you for staying with me all these years. Come on. And I remember she called, you know, Pastor Steve, and, you know, I got in trouble. Okay. And she says, you know, she was talking to them, and Pastor Steve and Deborah. And so, of course, Pastor Steve, she put, you know, Pastor Steve on the line, and, you know, all Pastor Steve says is, Larry. I said, yes, Pastor Steve. You know what you're doing wrong, right? And I went, yes, Pastor Steve. He says, you know what you need to do, right? And I said, yes, Pastor Steve. Okay, then do it. Okay. I was like, okay. Oh, my goodness. You know, and I had to make changes in my life. You know, and I had to begin to change and you know, put my family priority. And you know, I just thank God, you know, that there is things that the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, will remind us of the Word of God. Many times use people to remind us, hey, how you're living, you need to change, you need to adjust, you need to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard for life, and we shouldn't lower our standard just because everybody in the world and our schools are lowering the standard. We need to keep our standards high and continually live for righteousness and strive to be more Christ-like every day. And so every day, you know, I'm praying, Lord, help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better Christian today. I can't put on that title of just saying, just because I'm a pastor, that puts me on a different category. No, every day, when we become leaders, there's even more accountability. And we have to even live, you know, more, you know, and right in terms of understanding that the Lord is looking at us. And so I want to encourage all of us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the Word and how we should live and behave. And then in Galatians 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so the Spirit of God encourages us, hey, this is the way we should be living. We have no excuse. We'll say, oh, yeah, I can love, but I don't have patience. You know, no, you can't pick and choose this list. The Holy Spirit will help us. You know, this is the characteristics that we should be living out. And sometimes we're saying, but, you know, sorry, in Singapore, it's so stressful. And I really like those, so stressed out. And it's like, you know, we're so stressed. And it's like, hey, God's Word, the Holy Spirit helps us to have patience. Oh, I don't have patience, but, you know, I can have the love, maybe. No, God says no, all the fruit of the Spirit we should believe and carry in our life. And so we thank God for the Holy Spirit in our life that's working and moving. You know, a couple of months ago, I was in our church in Armenia, and, you know, our church there, I was so, so encouraged. It's new church, it's a growing church. I was so amazed that there's only 2.8 million people in Armenia itself. There are 8 million Armenians outside of Armenia. And it's just, you know, terrible kind of things that are going on there and in terms of just the you know, economy and all of that. But, you know, I was so blessed with these three ladies' testimonies. One, you know, she's 25, the first lady there. And you know, she's, all her parents, her family, all migrated to the U.S. And she was left. She's 21 years old. And she's left there all alone by herself. And I said, you know, you're here by yourself. How are you? You know, are you okay? And she says, you know, I'm okay. Now I know what it feels like to be alone. So every Saturday I'm volunteering to reach out to orphans. And I said, what? It doesn't make sense. You're all alone. You're by yourself. And now you're still reaching out and helping others. She says, yeah, I feel like God allowed all this. So I know what it feels like to not have family. So I'm reaching out. Oh man, it was so amazing to hear that testimony. And then the lady in the middle, you know, she got married when she was 16, had two children. When she was 21, her husband died, got run over by a truck. And so it was a terrible situation. Eventually she moved to Dubai, and that's where she got saved in our Dubai church. And, you know, there, you know, she went through discipleship, got transformed, and she says, I want to go back to my own people in Armenia, and I want to tell all my people about Christ. And so actually that's how we started the church there in Armenia, through her life and testimony. And then the last one there, she's 24 years old, and she is, you know, the sole breadwinner of her family because, you know, her father's in prison. And, you know, it's just a terrible situation. But when I talk to these ladies, there's no sense of like depression or discouragement because of their situation. They're all very encouraged, full of faith. And they're looking at their situation of saying, now I can go and help other people. What a privilege, what a joy it is to help other people. And to me, it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work and moving in their life to encourage them of the Word of God, that they can do all things through Christ who gives them the strength. It's not possible in our own human strength to begin to reach out when we're in terrible situations like that. But the Holy Spirit gives us power and strength to help us. Come on. But the Spirit of God renews us. The next one is being justified by His grace. And so it's but being, okay, and being justified by His grace. Justified, a way to remember that is just as if I never sinned. We thank God that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for each and every one of us, because He died for us, and by us receiving Him in our heart. Now when we ask for His forgiveness, all of a sudden He looks at us. It's as just as if we've never sinned. And I like this in Galatians 5:1. It says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. See, the work of the cross is that Jesus set us free from the yoke of sin, death, and slavery to that lifestyle. And when we follow Him, all of a sudden we are set free. We're different now. We can live different. Why go back to the world? Why go back to that yoke of slavery again, to wickedness and sin? When I received Christ, I used to party and drink and all of that, and curse and swear. And so when I received Christ, all of a sudden I just lost that hunger. I lost that desire for that. And I didn't want to do that anymore. And it was such a dramatic change. And every day I'm saying, Lord, change me more. Change me more. I want to be more like You. And I like this illustration of this bird in a cage. You know, because there was a story of this young boy. And he caught this bird in a cage. And then the neighbor comes to him and he says, hey, little boy, you know, what are you going to do with the bird? And the boy says, oh, this is a mischievous boy. He says, man, I'm going to take this bird. I'm going to take a pencil and I'm going to poke this bird all over. And then I'm going to pull out its feathers, you know, and then I'm going to watch it die. Wow, what kind of little boy was this? And so the neighbor says, how much will it cost you for that bird? And the boy's like, what? No, I don't want to sell this bird. And he says, no, how much will it cost you? I'll give you anything for this bird. And the boy goes, anything? And so the boy, thinking of to make a lot of money, he says, it's going to cost you everything in your wallet, $50. So the neighbor takes out $50 and he says, I'll pay. Give him the $50. Then the boy gave him the bird, and the neighbor's walking away, and then the boy says, hey, what are you going to do with the bird? And he says, watch. And he opens the door, and he sets the bird free. That story is a great reminder, because it's a story of actually us and Jesus, and how the enemy has us in the cage. And here the enemies got us in the cage, and the enemies trying to poke us with all kinds of criticism and lies and all this, you know, offense and hurts, and, you know, and Jesus comes, you know, to say it. He says, hey, how much is it going to cost for that person's life? And Satan says, it's going to cost everything you have, Jesus. It's going to cost your life. And Jesus goes to the cross and he says, I'll pay. I'll pay. And you know what he did? He takes us like that bird in the cage, opens the door and sets us free. Why would we want to go back? Why would we want to go back in the cage? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. No longer to the yoke of slavery. Come on. We're set free. We're set free. The last one is we become heirs, that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, all of this, the but his goodness, but his mercy, being justified. And the last one, become heirs. Remember I said our home is in heaven. Colossians 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Isn't it amazing how the enemy always gets us to focus on the earth? Focus on the sales, all you ladies. Sales, you know, oh, this is Singapore. Singapore, it's all the sales. You know, it's like everything is on the earth. Oh, they got this. I don't have that. How come they got that? Oh, God, you don't love me as much. And we get so focused on the earth. And we get so upset, you know, with things and how God's blessing other people or answering their prayers and not answering ours. And then we get so upset with God. But God says, set our eyes on things above. Set our eyes on things above. It's our time here is so temporary. You know, in June, we had our family reunion for my dad's side of the family. And we had over 50 of us. And, you know, our family are all Christian here. And we're Christian because my dad, at 14 years old, went to a vacation Bible school and received Jesus in his heart. And when he went home, he was threatened by his parents that if you become a Christian, you know, we're going to kick you out of the house. And my dad at 14 years old says, you can kick me out, but I'm still going to serve Jesus. And so they said, okay, you can still serve Jesus, you know. And eventually he led all his brothers to the Lord, all the ones in blue, you know, all his brothers, the three brothers there with their wives. He led them to the Lord. And then 2 years later, he led his mom and dad to the Lord. Years later, he led my great grandma and great grandpa to the Lord, you know, and we have pastors, leaders in churches, all because of a 14-year-old boy that dared to take a stand for Christ. And this was our family reunion. And we had it, because we're all Christian, it was like a church camp. We had worship in the morning, we had devotions, we had divided into teams, you know. But the evening time was all the elders, you know, would share their insights for all of us younger ones. And the insights, you know, I loved, you know, their sharing and the wisdom they imparted to us. But the lady I have circled is my auntie. And she was sharing about how that the Lord, you know, she was diagnosed with fourth stage leukemia. And the doctor only gave her 1 year to live. And so she had to go through chemo treatments. And as she was going through chemo treatments, she was testifying. And she says, this is a miracle that I learn to enjoy my sickness. And we're like, what? Auntie, explain that. We don't understand that. She says, it was a miracle because throughout her sickness, she never experienced any pain. And she was learning to how to turn the sickness into moments of joy and a testimony. So she began to witness to all the nurses that came to to treat her in the hospital. And she says that the nurses began to send the problem case nurses to her because she would begin to witness to them and pray for them. And so she got to lead a few of them to the Lord, and it was such an amazing testimony. So as she was sharing with us, she was sharing with us how the Lord was actually using this sickness to be a blessing and encouragement to so many others, that when, you know, she was testifying, she was actually saying this, that she was diagnosed with one year to live. This was actually her second year of life. I just got a message from her. Thank God. Yes. I just got a message from her about 2 weeks ago. She says, they're reducing my medication and I am still cancer free. Come on, praise God for that. She's getting better and better. Come on, we praise God for all that He's doing in our life. But I want to encourage all of us that our steps of faith, and oh, this is what I love most about our family reunion, was that we had generations praying for the other generations. The younger generation praying for the older generation. The older generations praying blessing for the younger generation. And it was a generational transfer. And I want to encourage all of us that our steps of faith are going to affect our future generations. You may think in the temporary. You may think, oh Lord, I just want to serve You just for the here and now, just for myself. But let me tell you, your actions, your prayers, how you apply the Word of God now is going to affect your children. It's going to affect their children, your grandchildren. It's going to affect generations. People are looking at us as a modern day Bible that people can read. How are we living and behaving? Come on, the Lord wants to use us to be His witness and His testimony. We are becoming heirs, and I like this in Galatians. I'll end with this, 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life which I now live by faith. I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Come on. Paul was saying this. I'm not living for now. That's why he could do so much and plan so much, because he died to himself. Do you understand that? You know what holds us back the most? Is our reputation. What people will think about us. Oh, if I pray for them, if I tell them that I'm a Christian, they're going to criticize me. Come on, we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even more, we should not be ashamed. As Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And Apostle Paul saying, I could witness and I could testify because I am dead to myself. I'm dead to what people say about me. I've crucified myself. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. He's crucifying his own reputation. He's saying, I just want to serve God and love Him with all our heart. I'm encouraging you today, by grace, step out in faith and allow God to use you. As you do, you're going to have a great and a tremendous year. So justifying grace, He transforms our eternity. And we thank God we were once sinners, but goodness saves, but mercy renews. Being justified by grace, we become heirs of eternal life. Thank God we have an eternal home. Can I hear an amen? One day we're going to heaven and it's going to be a glorious time. But make the most while you're here on earth. Make it count for Christ. Have the best marriage you can have. Come on, be the best Christian you could be. Serve God with all your heart. Because when you do, it's going to give glory to God. Come on, and many others will be impacted for the kingdom. Can we stand up together? I want to pray for you. Father, we just thank you so much that, Lord God, it's by your grace that you transform our eternity. You, Lord God, bring back into perspective, Lord God, that our life here is so temporary and limited. But, Lord God, we are living for an eternal home. And we have an eternal destiny. And I thank you for that, Lord God, that the goal and the prize and the high call, Lord God, is heaven. And so all we can do here on earth is to glorify you. And what a privilege that is. What an honor that is to glorify you, to give you praise, Lord God, in our life. And I pray, Father, for all of us here that, Lord God, we would be a living testimony of who you are, how great you are, how mighty you are in our lives. And Lord, I pray for those that may not know you as their Lord and Savior. And I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you just lift your hand where you are? I want to pray for you to receive Jesus in your life. By lifting your hand, you're just opening your heart to the Lord. Anyone here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just, if that's you and you want to receive Jesus, I'll just lead you in a prayer. If you can just repeat after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead for my sins. Come into my heart and forgive me of all the wrong things that I've done. And help me this day to live for you, to serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we just thank you for those, Lord God, that may have received you in their heart and their life for the first time, Lord God, or maybe renew their commitment with you. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, now anoint them, Lord God, with your love. Father, I pray, Father, for all of us, Lord God, for a new anointing of your grace to fill our life, God, that, Lord God, we would be that witness for you. We would be that living testimony. I just thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in our life. And I thank you, Father, that your power is at work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we give the Lord praise? Amen. Amen.